I love leading missions trips. I've done several of those over the years as a pastor. And I'm excited because a lot of you are going to be going on a missions trip next week. You really are. And maybe you said, I've never had the opportunity to do that. Well, next week, you're going to spend a whole week being on a missions trip. You're not going to have jet lag, which is wonderful. I'm probably not going to have any delays at the airport. I'm not going to guarantee you won't have a flat tire on the way to SOTUS, but you're going to have the opportunity to be the missions team for our church for an entire week. And so look forward to that. There are over 75 volunteers on this year's missions team. That's the biggest team I've ever led, I think, for a week-long thing. So I'm really thankful for all of you that are going to be a part of this. I just want to leave some words with you as you think about soccer camp, because I'm not going to be able to meet with everybody. It just gets too crazy once it starts. And if you're not part of a soccer camp, you can still help by praying some of these words for the people that are going to be here. First of all, it's the word friendly. We're looking for you to be friendly, especially with people that you don't know. Maybe that's a given, but be friendly if you can. Second, be focused. We have a purpose here. We're not trying to put out professional soccer players. But we are trying to make connections with our community and reach out to people and get to know people that we don't know. So be focused on that. Also, one of the key things for any missions trip I've ever led, ever been on, you have to be flexible. The schedule is going to change. The kids are going to say, I don't like this snack. And you're not going to join in and say, I don't like it either. You're just going to be flexible and go with it. Some of the time things might not be exactly on. It may be hotter than you want it to be. I'm so not really sorry, okay? It's just, we have to be flexible, right? And so need to deal with that and work out. And then the last one is not really a verb. It's really a noun. Fatigue. You're going to get tired. Wednesday is that tough day where you decide, Jesus or my recliner? I'm asking you to choose Jesus on Wednesday. Your coaches, your head coaches are asking you to choose Jesus. Because the kids are still going to come, and if you don't come as a support team, they're going to be in trouble. And it's not just the coaches. We have other teams that are going to be a part of this. So keep those things in mind. I am so excited. We really want to do this on purpose, and we want to have opportunities to have interactions with these folks after camp is all over with. All right, so that's kind of my word for today as it relates to soccer camp. It is the will of God that we study and apply the Word of God through the Spirit of God to engage the culture we live in as representatives of the Son of God. That's why we're going through this Hot Topics series. So I invite you to join me for a brief moment of prayer. God, we are thankful for the relevance of your word as it relates to these topics that we've been looking at. That no matter how our culture changes and evolves and has just unique and creative things associated with it, and whether they be challenging or just things that are part of our culture, we're thankful that your word is still applicable today for the culture. And as we look into the topic of social media today, help us again to realize that your word is not silent about this area, that your word has something to say to us. So I pray that it may be clear, that your spirit would teach us the ways that we can take what your word says and be more effective in this area of social media. And we commit our time to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For the most popular, and they change, but for the most popular and widely used social media platforms today are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. So I wanted to start off with a little bit of a numbers quiz. And if you're not familiar with some of these, it's okay. Take your insert out, and you'll notice at the top of your insert that the four different platforms are listed. All right? The four different groups I mentioned, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, are listed at the top. I'd like you to take about 15 seconds and try to guess which platform goes with the numbers that are on the insert, as far as users in the United States. So go ahead and do that. Even if you have no clue, have fun and see how you do. You're going to take each one of those platforms and put one with one set of the numbers as far as users in the United States. Just think of that Jeopardy music playing in your ear as we're going here. Okay, so I'm not going to take a lot of time. So write that down. Give yourself a guess here. There won't be any cash or prizes available afterwards, but just humor me here to get you started. So take the numbers quiz as it relates to social media. Maybe when you're done writing it down, if you could look up so I kind of know when you're ready to go, and we'll go from there. All right, here we go. I think we're going to put all of them up, so go ahead, Rick. All right, so there are the answers. In that order, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And that's the number of U.S. users based on the most recent statistics, at least, that I could find. I want to make a couple comments about these, and as those of you who are correcting your paper, the teacher's out there going, oh, I got a 75, I got a 50. Interesting to me, the population in the United States is 325 million. 214 million Americans have a Facebook account. That's two-thirds of Americans use Facebook. And then Instagram has 100 million users, and it's estimated anywhere between, listen to me, 40 and 60 million photos are posted every single day. Did you hear that? 40 million to 60 million photographs are posted every single day. Then you have Snapchat, and then with Twitter, it's based on followers. I mean, it's how many people are following you. And I found it interesting that 85% of world leaders use Twitter. Donald Trump has 20 million Twitter followers, whatever that's worth for you. So as you look at these numbers, I just want to say something at the beginning of this message. Numbers don't lie. At least these numbers don't lie. Social media is here to stay, folks. It really is. And some of you may be thinking, well, only young people use it. Wrong. Look at this graph, or this slide. Go ahead. This is based on age group percentage using social media. 18 to 25, 88% use some type of social media. 30 to 49, 78%. 50 to 64, 64%. And 65 plus, 37% use some form of social media. Every age group uses social media. So it's out there. It is not going away. And I thought about it this week when it comes to social media. You can ignore it. You can boycott it. You can bash it. But you're not going to outlast it. I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to be dead and gone, and it's still going to be around. So that being said, as a church and as followers of Christ, we need to interact with what does the Bible say, or what perspective does the Bible give us about social media? And how will we approach that even this morning? Well, I want to tell you that this morning, it is not my purpose to go through all the nuances of all the social media platforms. Reason being, it'll take way too much time, and social media is so fluid, it's constantly changing and upgrading and doing all these things. So if I gave you some of the nuances today, a week from now, they may be changed. However, it is critical, no matter what age group you're in this morning, it is critical that we understand or get an idea of what the Bible can say about social media, not because it's a controversial topic, but because it's so widely used. I'm here to tell you that social media is a hot topic. It's hot, and it's going to stay hot. And so we should be looking at what the Bible says about this. And there's a pressing question at hand. Here's the pressing question for this morning. What is the impact of social media on relationships? That's the pressing question. What is the impact of social media on relationships? And I believe, as I kind of introduce and we work our way, I believe that social media can have a positive and negative effect on our relationship with God. But for this morning, I'm talking about human relationships. And when I say relationships, I'm talking about all types of relationships. It could be family relationships, friends, dating relationships. All sorts of relationships are affected by social media. And as I started to think about this, I have my thoughts, my own thoughts about this. I really do. But they're just my thoughts. So I thought it'd be interesting to maybe get some input from some of our high school students and some of our college age young people in our church. So with the help of Pastor Joe and some interviews that I did, I asked these two questions or posed these two questions to those groups of people. Here's the first one. How does social media benefit relationships? And then how does social media fall short in building relationships? I wanted to get some of their input. Because I know if I would have asked some of you, you just would have been like Scrooge, bah humbug, no answer. That's not really what I was looking for. Interesting, they gave me some feedback about the benefits and some of the hindrances, and so I put together a summary, and I know I left some spaces in your notes. I'm not looking for you to write all of these down, maybe one or two that jump out to you because I'm going to keep moving, but I want to start out with the benefits. Here are some of the benefits that they listed. It says it cuts out distance, that you know people can be far away and you can still maintain connections with them. They thought that was good. You can connect with old friends, and I guess you can choose which friends you want to connect with and deny the ones that are trying to connect with you that you're not interested in. It's also used as an immediate platform for celebrations and life events. So you can find out about something really cool that's happened in someone's life that day, even if they're miles away, or something tragic or sad or some other life event. And then somebody said, rightly so, that you can use social media for business connections, especially if you're getting out of college or getting close to getting out of college and you're using social media to make some connections for a potential job or an interview, something like that. So these are some of the benefits. And again, you don't need to write all these down. But I thought it was really interesting because I did not prompt them. Pastor Joe did not prompt them. We simply gave them the questions that they came up with a lot more hindrances. A lot more things that they thought were kind of not beneficial in building relationships. I guess they're up already. Here they are. Okay. Distraction. Some of them thought the social media was a distraction to relationships. I don't know what they're talking about. Where's my phone? I'm just kidding. It's not unfair. We'll talk about this. Some said that what happens is if you're tied to social media too much, you can become socially awkward in relationships. No filter. They said there's too many people, there's no filter when it comes to things that they say in relationships. No filter. Impatient. I thought that was interesting. I need you to talk to me right now. And I don't really mean talk to me. I need you to respond to me. I need you to post right now. I sent that post a half hour ago. What are you doing? I know it's 3 a.m, but you need to get up. Are you not my friend anymore? I'm mad at you. What are you mad at me for? Why? I tweeted you or I texted you. I used Facebook at 4:00 a.m. You didn't respond until 8:00. I was asleep. It's not an excuse. No. They said that one of the problems with social media, it can produce surface relationships, just kind of not too deep. And then, this was a great observation. Too many people in social media seek validation at all cost. They seek validation at all cost. They'll say and post things just so people will like them, things that they would not normally do, even compromise in their own integrity because they want to be validated. They so desperately want to be approved. So I thought these were great responses, and hopefully some of you understand what these are. But when it comes to social media, I want you to know this, that even though these were really good responses, thank you, Joe, for facilitating that for me, even though these were great responses, I was thinking that these responses could have come from any group of young people, any group of college students or even researchers who had no interest in faith or the Bible. They could have come up with the exact same list. So what do we do with this? Is there any other information that we have other than just doing research? And I do think we have something to turn to. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Bible. And although the Bible, I don't care what translation you have, although the Bible never mentions the word Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat, no matter what concordance you find, you're not going to find these in there. I believe that God's word gives us insight on social media. I really do. And I think this insight should matter to us because it's not going away. And I want to challenge maybe some grandparents or great-grandparents here today who are like, social media, rah, 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 rah. Listen, if not for you, how about for your grandkids, you get a clue. Just at least to be able to have a conversation with them. I don't mean you have to start a Twitter account with them or even start a Facebook account with them, but at least if they're doing it, at least you have be able to have a conversation with them instead of doing the grandpa roll the eyes. And then you make funny jokes. Snapchat. What's a Snapchat? There's things that we need to talk about. The Bible gives us some really good insight. I want to give you some observations that I believe that the Bible gives us about social media. You ready? And you have my permission to repost these. Even tweet them. Don't take my picture, please. I don't want that. Okay, here's observation number one. Ready? As it relates to social media and the Bible, God holds us accountable for our words and pictures no matter which platform we use. God holds us accountable for our words and our pictures no matter which platform we use. Matthew chapter 12. I'd like you to turn there in your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter 12. I want you to see some interesting words from Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 12. Context here is Jesus is talking with a group of Pharisees. He's kind of rebuking them because they're saying a lot of things and they're not really thinking about what they're saying, and it's getting them in trouble. And I think we have the same problem. And even in social media, we have the same problem. We say things through social media, or we send pictures and that we shouldn't. And so Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." Wow. Now, I know he was specifically talking to the Pharisees, but I do think it has relevance for us today that we need to be careful. God will hold us accountable for every word and picture that we put out there, no matter what platform we use. Here's another verse. I won't have you turn there, but I want you to see it. Psalm 141 and verse 3. I put this verse on the back of your bulletin. It says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Now, I think when you look at that verse, obviously that's Old Testament, and obviously I understand in the context of the psalmist, he's talking about regular words. There was no social media back then. But here's what I was making the connection to, because I think it's legitimate, is that in today's culture, our posts, our tweets, and whatever we use for social media, those have become our words. Those have become the things that come out of the door of our lips. And for everything that we say and post and send, God will hold us accountable. So we must be careful. So what does that mean? What does that observation mean as it relates to social media? Let me just give you some ideas. Social media doesn't give you and I the right to say and post whatever we want. It does not. Why? Because God holds us accountable. We don't have a right to say and post whatever we want. Free speech. No, free speech does not equal bad speech or inappropriate speech or not God-honoring speech. Also, don't fool yourself in thinking that you can hide behind your social media identity. I don't know if some of you kind of listen to the news, and in the area of sports, there's been things that have come out in the last couple weeks with different draft picks in the NFL and other sports. What's come out, and in baseball in particular, what's come out is these guys are now college age or getting ready to go into professional sports. And as they're getting drafted, they're pulling up tweets that they sent when they were in high school. Some of them were racist tweets, other things that were inappropriate. These are things that they sent out 4 or 5 years ago. I want you to know your pictures and your words stay a lot longer than you think. What does that mean? We should shut it all down? Try it. It's not going to happen. There's no way you're going to shut it down. And there's no way the church is going to be able to say, "Hey, if you want to come to Bible Baptist, no social media. We're going to check your life." No, that's not the answer. The answer is just remember, when you're doing these things, God holds you and I accountable for every word, every picture, no matter which platform you use. And for those of you who don't use social media, your words still matter. They're just the old-fashioned way. You know what I'm saying? Here's the second observation. The approval, and approval is huge on social media, the approval of who, in this case Jesus, you follow is more important than the approval of the people who follow you. The approval of who you follow, who I follow, Jesus Christ, is more important than the approval of the people who follow you. I'm not going to ask you if you have an account and you keep track of how many followers you have. I hope you have a lot. Wonderful. But you know what? Their approval is not as important as Jesus. Right? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Interesting verse from the mouth of the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1. He's in a little bit of a back and forth banter with some people who are accusing him of serving just to please men. That he's doing what he's doing to please men and to kind of bring approval on himself. So Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 says this. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, I want to be true to the Word of God as a teacher. And I understand, I really do, that Paul's primary purpose for writing this verse was to deal with the accusers in his life. And I know he didn't write this about social media, but man, does this fit. When you're out there using it, or maybe you're not a person who uses social media, but you're interacting with a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a coworker, and they're so frustrated, and you ask, why are you upset? Well, people are not approving me. And it's real. They feel it. I'm not discounting. You need to say, listen, let's talk about who's more important when it comes to approval. Even if you're not using it, you can have that conversation. Because young people and older people are devastated when people don't follow them and give them the thumbs up. Whatever icon, the smiley face or whatever. And I understand that. But who you follow, the approval of who you and I follow is much more important than the people that follow us. It really is. Somebody told me this last week, and I didn't realize it, that it's a medical fact that when you post something and you get a like, dopamine is released in your brain. Dopamine is that chemical that is related to pleasure. So each time you get a like, you get a little shot of dopamine. So can you imagine if you post something witty or interesting, and you get 100 likes, pew, 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 pew. You're like, and you feel good about it. Okay, not a problem. I understand that. But here's the question you need to ask before you go to the drugstore. Is what I'm saying or posting going to get the approval of Jesus Christ? You with me? That's what we need to ask. And if that's the case and Jesus would approve of it and you still get the dopamine, I guess that's okay. What am I going to do? But I also want to tell you this about approval. If you're here and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, your identity in Jesus Christ is complete no matter how many approvals you get, how many followers you have. It really ultimately doesn't matter. You are complete in Jesus Christ. I want young people in here to know this. I know you use social media and I know your friends interact with you. That's great. But I want you to know that if you're in Christ, you are totally complete no matter if anybody follows you or not. That's really important for you to know. Now, if you pick up some followers along the way, great. I thought it was so interesting. As I was researching social media, I was looking at Twitter statistics. Now, I know some of you are not really sure what Twitter is, but that's just kind of a back-and-forth account thing. And in the world today, there are over 1.3 billion Twitter accounts. I said the word billion. But I thought it was really intriguing because Twitter is really fueled by how many people kind of follow you. It's really kind of the trademark of whether you're popular or not. And of that 1.3 billion Twitter accounts, 375 million of them have no followers. I'm sorry. Wow. I think I would shut it down. 375 million. Listen, tweet away if you'd like. But Jesus is who you find your identity in. And I often wonder, are we more disappointed because someone didn't retweet or repost something we said? Are we more disappointed than that, than we are that maybe what we posted was not pleasing to God? So think about it that way. It's interesting in how we move along with that. Observation number three. I had to put this in here because social media is out there. Arrogance, being obnoxious and mean are ineffective tools for evangelism. Because some Christians are like, social media, this is awesome. It's the come to Jesus moment. If you are going to use social media for evangelism, this verse needs to be on your phone, on your tablet, or next to your computer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. It must be there to guide you. Please use it. Let your conversation, let your Facebook account, let your Instagram, let your Snapchat, let your Twitter be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's talking about how to answer them about your faith with grace and salt that draws them, not destroys them with poison. I got some bad news for you. The actual results of people coming to faith in Christ through social media are very disappointing. It doesn't happen a whole lot. Why? To be honest with you, Christians are being rightly accused of being obnoxious, arrogant, and mean. And here's what happens. Here's what typically will happen. There'll be a natural disaster like a flood or a hurricane or a tornado. Or there'll be a terrorist attack. Or there'll be some kind of violent crime. Or there'll be some other activity or event that takes place, some other tragedy. And that will happen. And then there will be Christians who will immediately post about the judgment of God and how God hates this certain groups of people and that God's just getting back at people and you just need to get back to the ways of the Bible and that God is going to judge America until we... And nothing about Jesus, just a lot of judgment. I know it all, and I'm going to do it aggressively. It's very ineffective. It really is. So I would ask you, challenge you, next time you want to post in the name of Jesus, the next time you want to tweet the gospel, read this verse first. I'm not saying to be soft on sin. I'm not saying that you don't talk about God's holiness and justice. I'm just saying don't forget about the grace. Really important. Observation number four. I've got two more. You with me still? Everybody good? All right. I'm not going to ask if anybody's like on Facebook right now going, I can't believe he's talking. Observation number four. Face-to-face conversations are still an acceptable mode of communication. Hi, Dave. How are you? How you doing today? I'm good. I would have tweeted you, but I thought I'd say Dr. Face-to-Face. Actually, I don't think he has a... I don't know if you have a Twitter account, do you? No, I don't either. Maybe we could have one. That'd be fun. So that was just a side note. That's okay. My bad. I want you to see this verse. Again, this is not a verse originally written with face-to-face conversations related to social media, but look at this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Again, the Apostle Paul. He says, brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, so separated from a group of people he really loved, he said, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to what? See you. Now, this is not an anti-social media verse. See, it doesn't say we made every effort to tweet you or to post on Facebook. It's not an anti-social media verse. It's just saying there's nothing really wrong still with having face-to-face conversations. It's still an acceptable mode of communication. The Bible talks about the value of these face-to-face relationships. Now, if there's a distance, I understand that doesn't always, it's not always able to take place. But when we can, let's do this. Let's have face-to-face conversations. It's okay. It's really okay. I'm concerned because as my kids got older, they were kind of right in the middle of the whole social media boom thing, and occasionally we'd have some of their friends over who were really into social media. And we, first of all, would not let them bring their phones to the table. And secondly, it was a struggle to say, could you just look up at me when I'm talking to you? And we're not talking they're 4 or 5 years old. They're 15 and 16 because they don't know what to do with it. They're like, I'm in texting mode or I'm in Facebook mode. No, put it away. Just look at me. It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. I gotta look at you in the eyeball? Yeah, both eyeballs. Right now. Not a problem. Did I say to destroy your phones and get rid of the satanic mode of social media? No. Just said, let's have a face-to-face conversation. I am not putting down connections that are made available through social media. I'm not. I understand that. But they can, listen, folks, they can only go so far. They can only go so far. You understand? They can only go so far, and they shouldn't take the place of face-to-face conversations. I have to control my wife in this situation. I'm just laying it out for you. When she's here at the next service, I will say the same thing in case you're wondering, he's saying it because she's not in there. No, I will. I have to control my wife in this situation. We go into a restaurant, and she sees an entire family there, you know, whatever, it's adults and some kids, and they're all on their phones. She immediately is like, oh, I don't need to go to that. I'm going to go to that table. And we don't sit there. I'm going to this table right over here. I'm going, listen, you need to put those phones away. What is the problem? I'm like, oh, I got to control her. Because she's like, listen, honey, we don't even know these people. I know, but I'm. It drives her crazy. If you're those people, I'll try to protect you from her as well, okay? But listen, it's okay to have face-to-face conversations. It really is. I heard this last week at our church. I thought it was really cool. There were two people having a conversation in the welcome room, and I overheard this being said. It's so good to put a face to a name. It's somebody who had interacted with somebody through, not necessarily social media, but like email, some other things, but they were finally able to meet them face-to-face, and it's so good to put a face to a name. What a novel thought. It's okay. It's okay. I would love it if people find, I like it when, whatever, like or love, it doesn't really matter. When people find our church on Facebook, that's wonderful. But I'd like to find their face in our church. I mean, I'm glad if they find the connection there, but ultimately I'd like to meet them. Can I say this about relationships and social media and face-to-face? Social media is not a great platform for dealing with conflict. It's really not. Face-to-face is really the best way to deal with conflict if you can. It's not a great thing. And here's what's happened. We have exchanged screen time for face-to-face time. And I understand it to some degree, but I don't when the person that you're screen timing with their face is like 10 feet away. I just posted something for you. Really? Okay. You say, that doesn't happen. Sometimes. I think in the future, don't tell Pastor X, I think in the future we should have social media-based community groups so we never have to see each other. We can wear whatever we want, and if we video in, we just do headshots. None of this interpersonal face-to-face stuff. Nah. Let's just have social media things and we'll go back and forth. What do you think? Some of you are like, I don't know. Some of you go, man, might be a good idea. He did not come up with that idea, and it's probably not going to pass. But eventually, it'd be nice to see that. So, face-to-face, is it okay? Paul said, we were separated, and we longed to see you. Last observation, social media observation. There is more to friendship than just clicking the like button. Oh, I got another friend. Another like. Wonderful. Wonderful. I am excited for you. But there's more to friendship than just a click of a button. But what if I get two clicks? There's still more. One more verse I want to leave you with. Proverbs 27:9. Perfume and incense, at least back in that culture, bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. So this verse is saying that friends are good. It's a good thing to have friends. You understand? The Bible talks about it's a good thing to have friends. But the Bible also says that friendships don't just happen. And they really don't happen just with the click of a button. Here, I was thinking about, this is something that happens with social media that didn't happen 10 years ago as far as the context of the question. If you were to ask somebody maybe 10 or 15 years ago how many friends you have, it would be a different answer than if I asked somebody today, how many friends you have? Well, I have 533. Wow! You have 533 friends? Yes, I do. Then I'd ask, how do you define a friend? Really? Interesting. Now, listen, if you have that many friends, you can live in that little fantasy world. That's fine. Because you really don't have that many friends the way the Bible talks about. I'm simply saying the Bible encourages us to realize that developing friendships is more than just click on a screen. It's good to have friends, isn't it? It's good to have a friend that maybe is going to give you some heartfelt advice, some face-to-face conversations. Don't discount that. If you have some online friends that are encouraging you, wonderful. And especially if they live far away. I'm not saying not to have that, but I am saying there's more to friendship than just those kind of things. And I'm just being honest with you. I would be really concerned if somebody only has virtual friends. As a follower of Christ, you need some real friends. Ones that can shed real tears with you. Not tears emojis. Sad face. Happy face. Now, maybe they're a distance. That'd be fine. But make sure you have some real friends in your life. Social media. You can't live with it. You can't live without it. Guess what? It's here to stay. But I want to challenge us this morning that if we're going to interact with social media, I believe that this should be the user manual for how we use social media. This should be it. Because what other book gives us better advice about relationships than the Bible? So as you are interacting with that, Joe, you can come forward with the different platforms of social media. Or if you're here this morning and you don't use it, but you have people in your life that do, just encourage them to use the scriptures as they relate to social media. I would encourage you to think about that this morning. Why don't you stand as we close in prayer?